Kevin and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello and welcome in. It is the Monday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio. Drew at the controls. We'll see who else joins today's show. I saw Brian Matthews on campus earlier during Hugh Freeze's media availability. Brian Matthews, of course, lead singer of the supergroup there at On3. And he should be coming in. He mentioned that that's something that he planned on doing today. So we should have our usual Monday appearance from Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. But we also have, at some point, we're going to have Drew push the buttons and get Bill when Bill is ready to go. I don't know if Bill is, we'll see if Bill's available right now. I know he had some things going on before today's show, so we'll see if we can get connected with Bill Cameron at some point today. Love to hear from you. As I mean, we have 10 shows left before Auburn plays a football game. Like this week, next week, and then Friday night of next week, Auburn takes the field in Waco against the Baylor Bears. It's the first day of school here on campus, first day of the new term. And if you live in the Auburn-Opelika area, you can certainly sense a difference as far as the activity level, the busyness of our sidewalks and streets. You can certainly tell that tens of thousands of students that maybe weren't here a week ago, 2 weeks ago, are here, and the semester is in full swing. Students got a hot one today. It was relentless at times, and then for good measure, pretty serious downpour. Rolls through. So I think you got the early semester Auburn experience out of the way. If you walked around campus today between the between just some brutal heat and some rain, but it becomes, I assure you, it gets gorgeous, and it was great for parts of. It was actually a pretty moderate summer, right? It was pretty mild and a lot of rain, and it wasn't so bad. And now we so hopefully it's hopefully fall blows in very quickly for students who have to make their way around campus in heat like they had today. And speaking of heat, Hugh Freeze was a little hot under the collar today at the press conference. I thought it was the second time we've spoken to Hugh Freeze after a scrimmage. This time it was the scrimmage was Friday night. He'd had some time to process it. They'd practiced this morning before Hugh Freeze talked to the media, and I thought that it was some of the more interesting stuff he had to say all off season, because his concern seems pointed squarely at the offensive line assigned to protect Jackson Arnold. He mentioned after a scrimmage, the first scrimmage when Jake Thornton mentioned that he wanted to see the offensive line come out of that first scrimmage and assert themselves physically and win more one-on-one matchups and take a step forward. So it sounds like mixed reviews for the first performance, if that's where if that's where things need to go. And then hearing Hugh Freeze talk today, and again, it could be that you've got a really, really tough defensive line to block, and that's why the quarterback found himself constantly having his timing thrown off. If you read between the lines of what Hugh Freeze was saying about Auburn's scrimmage on Friday, but instead, it could be that the offensive line is, again, a work in progress, or a unit struggling to deliver satisfactory results. And if that's the case, then a lot of, this thing could experience a lot more turbulence than some of the optimists think that it will. And so, yeah, surprising to hear Hugh Freeze. I would even go so far as to say sort of a public call out of his offensive line, especially since it doesn't seem like a unit where we're talking about widespread personnel changes. I think they've got their five guys and their next man up, on the Auburn offensive line. So it's not necessarily about any of those guys getting pulled, I don't think, between now and the Baylor game. It's a matter of those guys improving their performance. And just like when Hugh Freeze threw his visor last week and people clutched their pearls and about something like that, I think Hugh Freeze has an expectation for this team. And with Jackson Arnold, it's the expectation that he's going to make quick, correct decisions all the time. Almost all the time at a very high percentage. And I think with a veteran offensive line like this, the expectation is that they're going to win their share of battles. Coming out of the press conference today, I thought one of the really interesting things Hugh Freeze had to say was that it sounded like they didn't. The offensive line did not win their share of battles on Friday in the scrimmage. What that could mean? You know, a lot of things. We'll see. And with that, we welcome in Brian Matthews from the Supergroup, popping in to hang out with us on a Monday. He was there at the same press conference.
Yes.
Got a couple questions up. Am I right in taking in that being one of the biggest takeaways from the media availability earlier today?
Well, first of all, I've got some other media things I've got to attend. You know, with this new band we've got together now, we're very popular and.
You guys are going to Japan, right? You're playing Budokan.
Yeah, we got to sign some autographs and stuff. But seriously,
you're going to be at Tower Records later.
I think we got to remember when he was talking about the offensive line today, he also mentioned that the running game has improved, the run block has improved, which was something we noticed early in fall camp. Talked about some explosive runs they had, talked about we had it on Friday after the scrimmage that they had a really good goal line period. There with run blocking. So you're feeling like that's coming along. And then he said they blocked perfectly, I believe. I don't know if he said perfectly, but they blocked really well in the RPO game, which is, of course, the big part of the offense. The only problem was the pass pro. I reported Friday they had 6 dropbacks in the scrimmage and were flushed. The quarterbacks were flushed or rushed from the pocket 6 out of 6 times. So that's not a good percentage on pass pro. There could be some circumstances involving that, right? Maybe the quarterback held on to the ball too long 1 or 2 times. We've seen that before.
If that's the case, it's odd to call out the offensive line at the press conference about it, though. Like if it's just like in the Jackson Arnold situation, if it were a matter of the receivers not getting separation, I don't think Hugh Freeze would have reacted like that in telling Jackson he's got to get rid of the ball. And I think in this case, I mean, he made it pretty clear that the expectation is, even though they like Jackson Arnold's ability to improvise, the expectation is a clean pocket, right? And that expectation was not met enough on Friday.
Yep, that's true. But it gives them something to work out. It gives them something for us to worry about over the next, 10, 11 days, whatever it is. I've been Missouri on the quarterback, been Missouri on the offense entirely, offseason, fall camp, but I am starting to feel better about the offensive line. I just can't help but start to feel better about it. So we'll see.
Really want to see what happens with the tackles because I do think, I mean, we've seen Auburn in the past, and Gunnar Britton's still playing football. Like, Gunnar Britton's on I know he was in the USFL, and I think he made an NFL 53-man. Auburn's brought in guys. I mean, you remember when Dylan and Gunnar came in?
Yeah.
They were the top two tackles in the transfer portal. Now, I think the overall level of talent in the transfer portal at tackle has elevated. You see more guys that folks view as immediate impact players changing teams at that position than you did 3 or 4 years ago. But still, it's a position where, even when you bring guys back, you don't know for sure what you're getting. But I think especially when you dip into the portal, best case scenario for X and for Mason is that they play like upper half of the SEC tackles or better.
Yeah.
Because if you told me, again, knowing nothing else about the year, if you told me that, if you told me X and Mason are in the lineup most of the year and Auburn gets above average play in pass blocking from their tackles, knowing nothing else about the situation, I feel pretty good.
I would almost guarantee 8 wins if that was the case, at least. I mean, I just would because there's questions at quarterback, right? How is Jackson going to handle the pressure? How's his confidence? How's he going to perform? Once again, at a big SEC school, which really wants to start winning football games now. So we'll see about that. But if he has the protection, you know, and everything else is working well offensively. One thing he has not done that Auburn struggled with a lot is turn the ball over. Freeze mentioned again today there were no turnovers. I think he mentioned that in the scrimmage. That's a great sign that even if he may not be perfect, even if he holds the ball a little bit too long sometimes, not turning the ball over is a big, big, big plus for Auburn. How many games would they have won last year if they had not turned the ball over as much as they did? I mean,
no, you're right.
I mean, two or three for sure.
I think there are multiple games that feel like they slipped away from Auburn for one reason or another, and turnovers were a constant.
Oh yeah, especially first half of the season,
constant issue. Yeah, so I mean, I think that's that would be. I mean, you still want to be able to do a lot of the other things. You want to be able to make big plays. You need to improve in the red zone. But no, I think what struck me about today was, in general, it's been so positive this offseason when you hear about positions and position groups and how things are going, and to hear sort of a direct call out of a position group the way Hugh Freeze, you know, said, you know, pointed to the offensive line. I think that's a, again, it could be psychological, right? It could be this is Hugh Freeze knowing what buttons to push to get the best possible production out of his offensive line a week and a half from now in Waco. But it also could very well be reflective of, you know, we can take him at his word about what happened today. Now, he also said this could mean that Auburn has one of the best defensive lines it's had in a while and one of the most difficult front sevens to block in a long time. And there's probably some truth to that. I think if you want to make the case, Keldrick Faulk is the most talented defensive lineman Auburn has had since Derek Brown.
No question. I would listen.
Yeah. I think he's the first consensus first round pick. And I know Derek Hall had an excellent career, and Colby is still in the NFL. Like there and Marcus, like there are some good defensive linemen since then. But you know, it seems like you've got someone in a different class of player in Keldrick, and then around Keldrick they feel really good about. I mean, it seems to me if Amaris has the kind of season people think, there have been signs of it all offseason, right? Like he would be a guy where the it fits very cleanly the narrative of Amaris Williams having a breakout season after not really being ready mentally and psychologically his first year, and then figuring everything out in his second season as a college football player. Don Dunn has pointed to some historic examples of, yeah, sometimes these guys, especially five stars from small schools.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I mean, it's just such a level of the jump in competition is so significant that can take some time and that can take some adjustment. But he's been one of those players, and there are a handful of them where it feels like you've just constantly heard positive buzz all offseason about what they could possibly do. And maybe, between Keldrick and Amaris and those young interior guys and Kieron and Chris Murray on the outside, Chris Murray's name keeps coming up this offseason as well. So, I mean, I think between that, maybe that played a role in Auburn's offensive line, not necessarily throwing a no-hitter on Friday in the scrimmage, but it's I mean, certainly no, you know, it's a constant of the last 4 or 5 years of Auburn football, the offensive line that needs to change direction for Auburn to have the kind of season that it wants to. And I guess you can make the argument about whether or not that happened last year and Auburn just didn't really take advantage of improved offensive line play in certain games. But I think in general, you know, Peyton Thorne was probably I was asked about this on the Doug show earlier today.
Well, I mean, the tackle last year they brought in was a complete bust.
Yeah,
and I mean, there's just no way around that.
And I think Tyler could eventually be a really good football player, but it was probably too early to thrust him out there at tackle. And I think they planned to move Wade to guard, but suddenly he had to get back out there and play tackle again. But you know, Doug asked me about it, and I was like, I think Peyton Thorne was a pretty good quarterback when everything was perfect, and then when things broke down and he had to improvise, occasionally things got calamitous, and with Jackson, I think they like his ability as an improviser, but you don't want things to constantly break down. You don't want your quarterback to constantly be having to improvise and run for his life and figure things out on the fly. You'd like to run. I mean, this was a constant of the Bo Nix era at Auburn, where it's like, what kind of offense can you run when the quarterback is having to
The offense they ran against at LSU when Bo won it for him.
Tyler Fromm.
All right.
Bo's going to run around for 11
seconds. That was the offense.
Bo's going to run around for 11 seconds, then Tyler Fromm's going to run a back shoulder. What kind of offense can you run in that situation? So I think that's the value of your offensive line, being able to keep everything else on schedule and on track. Because without quality offensive line play, your quarterback is constantly improvising. And being able to improvise is a prerequisite now. I think bad improvisers don't last at the quarterback position. And I think one of the trends of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now is that these guys are quick on their feet, quality improvisers when things go down. Mahomes is probably the best ever at that. You need that. You can't build, just like you can't build the whole plane out of the black box, Brian. Like you can't build the whole offense out of QB improvising. You need to be able to run an offense, and that's where the offensive line providing a pocket and providing you time to run your plays is just so valuable. 334-321-1390, the number to dial. We'll talk more with Brian Matthews from the Supergroup when we come back. We got Bill Cameron. At some point, we'll beam in and join the show as well. We got a media opportunity tomorrow morning. We're gonna watch some more football practice and talk to some players after that's over. So we got some viewing windows during the season last year. We'll see if we get one next week as well. But Auburn. You know, getting ready for Baylor and tomorrow an important practice as they turn the page from preseason camp to game day, game week prep with the Baylor game just a little bit more than a week away. 334-321-1390, that's the number to dial. That's the Drive Hotline presented by our friends at Skybar. Happy anniversary to Skybar, by the way, the 20th anniversary party this Thursday night. At Skybar, throwing the 20th anniversary party, August 2005, when Skybar opened its doors in downtown Auburn. So happy anniversary to
I moved to Auburn 2005.
Happy anniversary at an institution, New Auburn, downtown Auburn institution there, Skybar Cafe. We'll be back with more. You are listening to the Monday edition of The Drive.
The Drive with BillU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back. Hour number one of the Monday edition of The Drive. Do we forgot about Andy last week. We don't have anybody, Drew, that we call right now, do we? No, we're good. It's just Brian. It's just Brian all day on Monday. Last week it was, we had a 15-minute, no, it was Tuesday. Tuesday, yeah, no, last week on 15 minutes into the show on Tuesday. It's the first day of school for Drew. He's been busy today. Drew woke up early today. 334-321-1390. We do have Brian Matthews from the Supergroup. Tell everybody about the website too, because that's really exciting stuff. You guys have been adding talent and filing stories left and right.
Yeah, we got this cool site on the World Wide Web. You know, if you get on AOL and dial up, you can find us right there. Called AuburnSports.com. You know, we got pictures.
AOL's getting out of the dial up internet business now. Yeah, man,
you've got mail is almost dead. So. Yep. Got six of us just typing our little hearts away, cranking out stories. I just counted. We've got 10 different features up so far today, from my Monday musings to hot boards to coverage of today's press conference with Hugh Freeze, including video, all that and more. That's like every day now at AuburnSports.com. And, of course, you can follow me on socials at BMATAU.
Yeah, AuburnSports.com just doing tremendous work, getting us ready for the 2025 season. And speaking of the 2025 season, an exciting little piece of news hit the wire earlier today. As though because it's October 11th, right? As though the Auburn Georgia game on October 11th wasn't already a big enough deal.
Yeah.
Auburn announcing earlier today something we speculated about last week, as a matter of fact, when Cam Newton was in town. And I know the university has put out some material, so it's not a secret anymore. I believe Cam Newton will be the voice of the of the entrance video for the team this year, the video they play at Jordan-Hare at home. Okay. The university shared some clips on social media of Cam narrating. It's either going to be the Jordan-Hare video or it's going to be the video of – Auburn runs a couple of videos before kickoff for home games. I think this is going to be the one that plays before the team enters that Cam Newton is going to narrate this year. And speaking of the 2010 Heisman Trophy winning national championship quarterback for the Auburn Tigers, he learned that he's getting his jersey retired. The number two will be enshrined at Auburn University, and nobody's worn it since Cam. In 2010, Aaron Savage also wore number two that year. Nobody has worn it since, and of course Cam had that remarkable season in 2010, undefeated, just an engine for that that offense. You know, the straw that stirred the drink.
Yeah, it was a great system quarterback, had all the great talent around him.
Yeah,
just managed to fit in well, and you know. Hand the ball off.
Just a train conductor. Yeah. He wasn't a train conductor. He was the engine.
Yeah, he was all of it.
He was the steam. Yeah. He was the steam engine.
In the caboose.
Some quarterbacks are the guy in the hat, the engineer at the front of the train, right? Just pulling levers and pushing buttons. Newton was the tank engine, all right? Pushing this team all the way to the national championship. Just a handful of times in the last 40 years of college football where you pull off the undefeated national champion Heisman Trophy winning first overall pick grand slam. And I believe what Cam did it. Jameis couldn't have done it because he was a redshirt freshman that first year in 13, but Jameis Winston did all of those things. Joe Burrow did all of those things as a matter of fact, but it's pretty rare. You know, you talk about like your rarefied air. As far as college football quarterback Newton, you know, arguably the best ever, maybe the best individual season ever by a college football quarterback in 2010, and he's getting his jersey retired October 11th when Auburn and Georgia square off, as though Auburn Georgia already wasn't a huge deal. The night game coming off the bye week, you've got the possibility that it's the last Auburn Georgia game in the foreseeable future, depending on what happens with the with scheduling. You know, Auburn is feeling like they've maybe narrowed the talent gap with Georgia, and you got your shot to beat them for the first time since 2017. And as though that fire needed any more gasoline, Cam Newton's getting his jersey retired that night, and so that'll be it's going to be as you know, especially if Auburn can do its part on the field the first five games of the season. That game at home against Georgia figures to be an unforgettable Jordan-Hare Stadium weekend. Like that's the sort of thing. Like
it'd be great if it was. It would a night game at Jordan-Hare. You know, maybe a top five team or so, depending on how Georgia's doing. Maybe number one team potentially. Who knows?
I mean, you got Georgia Bama 2 weeks earlier in Athens, and I mean, I think Georgia will have a chance to, like, Georgia's probably favored in every game they play before the Auburn game, and if they if Georgia takes care of business before the Auburn game, they very well could be the number one team in the country, depending on certainly in the top three when they play that game, and Auburn could be. And think about I'll tap into your world for a second. What could that mean for recruiting, right? Like the thought of that's a hot ticket all of a sudden for targets for 26 and 27 and 28 to maybe have a game like that where you can bring you can bring the next class of players.
It would mean a lot to recruiting, and a lot of times games don't necessarily matter about recruiting, right? But if you look at where Auburn is positioned right now, they're trying to show the recruiting world and the world that they are on a program on the rise, that they can start competing for championships, they can start beating teams like Georgia and Alabama. et cetera. And you can expect Jordan Hare to be stock full of recruits in this class and in the classes beyond that. And you also look at Auburn's situation where, you know, it looks like a lot of the, you know, the major stuff may happen the last few days before signing day, just because of the way that's set up, you know, with Auburn holding back a little bit and waiting to see what's, you know, what the landscape will be when we get there.
If you were advising a top recruit in this new landscape, wouldn't you say, hey, maybe wait until everybody submits their final bid a couple days before signing day before you make your decision? Like, I mean, obviously you're considering things other than finances, but in the financial element of it, like, hey, maybe, I assume that's what you mean when you say a lot of this could be decided in the final days leading up to signing day.
Yeah, I mean, it's a transactional business in a lot of ways. That's not all of it, right? You've still got to build relationships, and you get kids when the money's close. Can you freeze or DJ Durkin or Marcus Davis or any of those guys on Auburn staff be the difference there? And I think most of them are like that. I think maybe all of them are like that. They are difference makers in recruiting. So this game is really important for recruiting. It'll be probably Auburn's biggest recruiting weekend of the year, other than, of course, the Iron Bowl at home, in November. But this will be a big one.
And so much of that is I mean, it's inherent. It's dependent on how Auburn looks in those first three, right? Like you gotta keep your head above water. You gotta seem like a team ready for prime time. One more thing on Cam. And love to hear from you, by the way. 334-321-1390. Drive Hotline presented by Sky Bar. Cam Newton, fourth player in program history to have his jersey retired. Pat Sullivan, number 7. Bo's number 34. Terry Beasley's number 88. Speaking of Bo, he will be honored at the Iron Bowl, right? Is the Bo Jackson. That's the 40th anniversary of the 85 Heisman that he will be.
Is it really that long? Because I was a student in the stands watching him just yesterday run all over, I think it was southwestern Louisiana, for like 200-something yards.
I have been informed that 1985 was 40 years ago. I did learn I did learn that in the month of July that 1985 was, in fact, 40 years ago. And the university also announcement earlier today about the Pat Dye. There's going to be a Pat Dye reunion and a lot of events going on there as well. So I mean, Auburn's got a lot of really interesting promotional things tied to this upcoming season, and now Cam Newton getting his jersey retired on October 11th at the Auburn Georgia game at Jordan Hare. 334-321-1390, the number to dial. Dan Peck, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com, the super group, hanging out with us. Drew at the controls. Bill Cameron, I'm calling my shot. Bill Cameron will be on the show at some point today and tell us about how he's feeling with just, as I mentioned it earlier, Brian, 10 shows to go before Auburn and Baylor square off in Waco next Friday. Wings 94.3 is where you can catch that in the local area. Speaking of Wings 94.3, 6 o'clock tonight, first episode of Tiger Talk of the year, October, August 18th. That's going to be Andy and the gang. They're going to have that for you. Do not miss it, live on Wings 94.3 at 6 o'clock. We'll be back with more. You are listening to The Drive.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back. Hour number one of the Monday edition of The Drive. A week before game week. We're taking the show on the road. I have a copy about that somewhere. Is it
You're looking for that.
I'll find that. But we're
1985, September 8th, Bo Jackson, 290 yards, 5 touchdowns, 23 carries. That was a heck of a first introduction. Not introduction, but that's the first time I saw him play in person at Jordan-Hare Stadium. So that was a great start to my Auburn career as a student.
Drew confiscated that copy from me. That's what happened there. But this Friday, we're going to be broadcasting live at Winter Timber Outdoors. That's That's the brand new hunting and outdoor store that over by the mall, and we're going to have a lot of cool stuff, including opening weekend of high school football, giveaways all weekend long, plus special guest appearances. Winter Timber Outdoors this Friday. We're taking the show on the road. Let's get to the phones and James, who's been hanging on for a little while. What's up, James?
What's going on, guys? I hadn't talked to you in a while.
Doing all right. Good to hear from you, bud.
I've been in and out of hospital with medical issues here lately, so I'm just glad I'm able to get to talk again.
Hope all is well, and we're glad that you're able to make this call.
Appreciate it, brother. Appreciate it. Hey, I don't have a lot to talk about, but the one thing I did want to mention, I'm not as concerned with the offense this year as a lot of people seem to be, and I'm not sure why. I'm not really understanding it. I actually think it's a positive that the defense has showed out in two scrimmages, because if the defense is really, really great, any offense is going to be stifled by that. What happens if we have one of the best defenses in the conference this year? That would explain why the offense don't look good in scrimmage, but they have had flashes in the scrimmages of good things and great things. So I'm not as concerned. I know I can't make people do this, but I wish people would just calm down a little bit. And, you know, I'm actually excited when Freeze throws his hat. Man, that's fine with me, but I remember watching Spurrier throw his hat every 5 seconds. So, I mean, what's the deal? I mean, Saban used to throw his hat, too. I mean, I guess we're not supposed to throw hats now or something.
Oh, I think the hat throwing or even the, you know, when there was video of him being pretty stern with Perry a couple of weeks ago, like that to me, that's overblown. At the same time, though, here's what I would say too: you might be absolutely right that the Auburn defensive line, the Auburn front seven, is a big reason why the offensive line isn't meeting Coach Freeze's expectations. I think the problem is, It's been several years of that with the offensive line, and the hope is that you're going to see improvement this year. And you still could, but when people hear that, they start to think maybe it's here we go again with an offensive line that you hoped was going to be there, you hoped was going to be able to help you get where you wanted to go. Ultimately, you didn't have that. I think Auburn and Brian, you know, I'd love your thoughts here. Like, seems like Auburn has the offensive line to accomplish the goals that they want. These five guys were all, well, I guess Jeremiah was inherited, but for the most part, like, these guys were brought into the program by Hugh Freeze and his coaching staff, and they've had ample opportunity to go in a different direction with Jeremiah Wright if they wanted to, and they clearly see something in him, even if they didn't recruit him personally. So I think, there's reason to believe the offensive line can meet or exceed expectations. I'm not going to just dismiss it, or I can think of it as concerning, at least, you know, before the first game, to hear that they're still trying to put it together.
Well, I got you.
You go ahead.
No, go ahead, Brian. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I was going to say, I think it would be fair to be disappointed if the Auburn offensive line isn't good to above average this year. Very disappointed, because they've invested a lot into it. Got key players back, went out and got two tackles, have depth now they've built. So I am sort of leaning toward it being good, but again, yeah, we'll see. To me, he talked about one-on-one battles today in pass pro. I think he's talking most about the tackles there, losing out to Auburn's defensive ends and edge guys. And, that happens sometimes. And he also talked a lot about having – the defense sort of knowing what Auburn's doing, which gives them a half step or a step, you know, to be a little bit more on the front foot there. So that won't be the case when Auburn's going to get – you would hope is not the case when Auburn's facing Baylor's defense.
And I would add, too, that we've heard when it comes to – we've heard when it comes down to individuals, right? It seems like pretty positive stuff when it comes to the five Auburn starters. You know, when their names are brought up, talking to the assistant coaches last week, talking to Hugh Freeze. He seems pleased with, you know, it's not necessarily any one individual who needs to step it up. It's just You've had two scrimmages now where they want to see. I think they want to see that the expectation is that the offensive line can do more.
Yeah, and you've got two new tackles, and those guys are the farthest from the center who's giving out the signals. So sometimes it can take a little while to get that the message and the just working together, all those things. You know, that takes time. It's important for offensive line to all work together. And I had to think as much. And I think that's a process you go through, and you go through it through camp, and we'll see how it turns out here in 11 more days.
All right, we got a couple calls hanging on. James, you got anything else?
No, man, appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Hey, great hearing from you, man. Great to hear that you're doing well enough to give us a call. 334-321-1390, that's the Drive Hotline presented by Skybar. We got a couple calls hanging on. We also have Bill connecting from the home studio. Bill, you've heard most of this conversation, and I want to bring you in here. First of all, how you doing?
Doing all right. Had sort of an elongated session today. Physical therapy combined with getting the 27 staples out. So I'm doing better, a little more flexible, but I'm not ready to be activated yet.
Okay, we'll keep you we'll keep your roster spot open.
Yeah.
Just in case. 334-321-1390. Let's get to Brett, who's been hanging on before we take our final break of hour number one. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Dan. It's been a rough August, but we had a good weekend this past week.
You know what? Hey, the big brother stays big brother, baby. All right, they haven't.
That's right.
They haven't had a parade in that city since SeaWorld opened. Okay, so.
That's a good one, Dan. I'll have to remember that one. Hey, on the offensive line, I don't see a problem. I mean, Auburn, when Auburn's been good, the defense always handles the offense in preseason work. And no matter what, I know Chaplin can play. I mean, there's no ifs about him. He's a ball player.
Yeah, I mean, Chaplin's the one, and just because – you know, Brian mentioned the Percy Lewis situation last year.
Yeah.
I think folks have been sort of watching the tackles very closely, and the one thing that I've been struck by, especially compared to last year, was it was clear pretty early on they wanted to keep their options open at tackle. You saw a lot of Tyler. You saw a lot of Too Tall. You saw Dylan Wade moving out and playing tackle. Like they were looking for answers all over the roster. At that position, it's been pretty stable. The practices we've been able to go to, it's been pretty stable. They've landed on. I mean, Hugh Freeze made reference to his five starters and the backup in the press conference before the first preseason practice. He made when he was talking about the guys being draftable. He mentioned those five guys and the backup, sort of referencing Too Tall. So I think they've been, the fact that they've settled on the guys, they know that there's a clear-cut group that should be out there. That seems like a positive step. And coaches will tell you that continuity is ultimately good for an offensive line. It's just a matter of those guys meeting expectations as a group.
Yeah. Well, hey, other thing, it sounds like Mapson's going to actually play a good bit. I mean, this guy, he's really coming on.
Yeah, it's amazing that he gets mentioned almost every press conference we have with Hugh Freeze, or oftentimes with players too. He's having a great camp. Can't see enough positive things about him.
First player mentioned today when Hugh Freeze was asked about explosive plays at the scrimmage on Friday. First name he mentioned was Omar Mabson, had a big catch. A big catch and run
for a touchdown.
And also named other running backs too, which prompted my question, which I think you've written a story about this, Brian, right? I asked a question just sort of asking Hugh Freeze to take us through the picture at running back and the things he's looking for that'll decide who plays. And the very first thing he said was, and I mentioned that he talked about Omar and Jeremiah. The very first thing he said was, Damari's the most complete running back on the team. He's the guy who does.
And Cobb also.
And the little things, the best. Cobb's the most, he mentioned Cobb's experience coming through. Darrell, I think that the turf toe has limited what he's been able to do this preseason, and that's probably opened the door for Omar Mabson to show it's probably provided a larger opportunity for Omar.
I think he busted the door down and bullied right through it, in my opinion.
And I would think, like, if I had to guess right now, I think he touches the ball against Baylor. Like, I you know what I mean? Like,
I'd be surprised if he didn't.
I mean, it depends on how many running backs. Like, yeah, depends on how many running backs you want in the picture. But I think, you know, Alston, Cobb, and you know, we'll see if it's Damari or if it's you know how much Darrell is out there.
Yeah.
I would think, yeah, Omar has played his way into the picture.
The quote from today is Damari is the most complete right now, along with Cobb. So I think Freeze feels really, really good about those two guys. I think they will be the two guys on the field the most against Baylor. That is a big game on the road, tough atmosphere. You want your experienced guys, guys that do things right, guys you can depend on out there. But I think Omar going into that first game is the clear number three. I think he's earned it. I also think Darrell being banged up for a good portion of camp is part of that too. But I think Omar's gone out there and grabbed that opportunity, and he is going to play. I think he will get some opportunities against Baylor probably. But if not, he will be a big part of the offense. Those next two home games certainly give him a chance. So I wouldn't rule out anything with the running back position. I do think Damari and Cobb are the guys that start the season, and then we'll see what happens.
Great stuff, Brett. Appreciate it. 334-321-1390, the number to dial. And tell you what, we'll take a break. We got Bill connected from the home studio. We got Robert hanging on. We'll get to him before the end of hour number one. Love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. This is football season preview and talk right here, Brian Matthews. And we'll do some more of that.
Oh, yeah.
When we come back, stick around. You are listening to The Drive.
The Drive. The Drive with View.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back. Final segment of hour number one here on a Monday. Great to hear from folks calling in. 334-321-1390. Drive Hotline presented by Skybar. Podcasts available through Southeastern Industrial Contractors, the Drive podcasts available wherever you get your favorite podcasts or ESPNAU.com. Let's get to Robert, who's hanging on before we step aside for the end of hour number one. What's up, Robert?
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
Doing all right.
Listen, all these people that are worried about our offense needs to understand that, first, our defense is going to be pretty good. But, secondly, our defense is like Michigan. They know our calls. They can know all of our signs. When the center gets over the ball and starts calling his check, the defensive line knows what the checks are. When the quarterback gets up and calls the protection, they know what that is. So the defense has a great advantage over the offense as it is.
I think there's something to that. You know, I think we've heard Coach Dunn say, you know, you got to play the drill and not try to use your insider trading knowledge to impact things. You know, the other thing to keep in mind, and Hugh Freeze was asked about this today, simulating this offense when Jackson Arnold can't run is a limitation too. Like, you know, whistling the play dead when it's a one-hand or two-hand touch with Jackson Arnold. I mean, I point out to people, and it feels really timely today, you know, Cam Newton tended to look kind of pedestrian in practices where you blew the play dead.
Oh, remember the A-Day game?
People thought that Neil Caudle was competing, you know, with Cam neck and neck in the A-Day game because he was the more accurate passer that day, and Cam couldn't really show what he does. I think that's something you struggle with too.
Well, if you're a defensive lineman, you have to slow down when you come into the quarterback. So that slows them down, and in live action, the quarterback can just do a step to the side and get out of the way and run for a long time.
And I think the plan is for that to be a pretty healthy part of what Jackson Arnold does. I don't think they want this to be a one read and then take off and run offense. They want him to have progressions, but they also know he can keep plays alive or make plays with his feet.
One of the biggest things that I heard from Coach Freeze was that all three quarterbacks, when it's starting to break down just a little bit, their eyes were downfield. Now, last year, our quarterback's eyes were on the ground, trying to figure out where he's going to be falling. But this year, the quarterbacks are looking downfield, for the last second to throw the ball. So I'm pretty feel pretty good about that.
You know, if Jackson can scramble like we think he can, and if he does keep his eyes down the field, this offense has a chance to make a lot of big plays that way, because when things break down, you've got receivers as talented as Auburn does. And if you have a quarterback that can scramble and move a little bit and make that throw, that's an opportunity for a lot of big plays.
Watch. I have one thing for Bill.
Yeah.
Bill, my wife had knee replacement, or was it a long time ago, and she was a teacher. And three or four of the guys who were working there, the physical therapists, were some of her students. When wow. her scar tissue broke, she said some words that they've not heard for a long time.
Huh.
So when that happens, just get ready for it.
When what broke?
First, the scar tissue. When you had the surgery.
Oh. Yeah.
And you have to move your knee to a certain degree of bend. At some point, the scar tissue is going to snap, and then it's going to be great after that.
Oh, that's but just great to hear, because they're already pushing me pretty good right now. So I can't wait for that. Appreciate that, Robert.
Appreciate the phone call, Robert. Good stuff. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more. Hour number two coming up. This is The Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Monday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio with Brian Matthews from the Supergroup, AuburnSports.com. Drew with the controls. We got Bill beaming in from home, talking about different topics. From heard from Hugh Freeze earlier today, and we were reacting to some of his press conference comments. Also passed along the news, and I'd love to get Bill's thoughts on this, that Cam Newton joins the rarefied air of Auburn players with a football jersey retired. Auburn announcing earlier today Cam Newton will become the fourth player in program history with a retired jersey. Cam Newton will have the number two retired during Auburn, Georgia earlier this year. Love to hear from you as well. 334-321-1390. Drive Hotline presented by Skybar. Bill, you missed our brief Cam Newton, and it's hard to form like a, I'm really strongly on the other side of this one.
Yeah, how can you be? I mean, for a guy who put together the greatest individual season in Auburn football history and led his team to a national championship in his 1 year here. I mean, yeah, it's hard to argue that. The only thing I've thought is, if you ever get concerned about running out of numbers, then you can retire. You can retire jerseys without retiring the numbers. But I don't have a problem at all with it. I mean, I think it makes perfect sense for a guy
that had
the year that Cam did to have his number retired.
What are you retiring if you don't retire? I mean, is that like sort of putting somebody in a Hall of Fame sort of deal?
It's just honoring that name with that jersey number. I wondered, I guess the Yankees have retired more numbers than any team in any sport, and they still haven't gone to retiring the player's jersey and putting the number back. So shouldn't be a problem, especially these days. It used to be more of a concern back in the day when you didn't have multiple players wearing the same number as long as they weren't on the field at the same time.
You had tighter restrictions about what positions could wear numbers back then, too.
Well, and you couldn't have two guys wearing the same number, even if they weren't on the field.
Right. I would say this is a thing that should be very, very exclusive, right? You want to be very careful about, for a variety of reasons, about who gets this honor. Cam Newton is as safe a choice as you could make around college football, I think, considering the season he had. I mentioned it earlier, Bill, like it's the the Grand Slam or the Triple Crown or whatever you want to call it in college football of you're the quarterback of the undefeated national champion, you win the Heisman Trophy, and you go first overall in the NFL draft.
It's hard to beat that.
Cam Newton did it.
And you go on to become an NFL MVP.
Yep. Sure. I mean, Cam Newton and then win an MVP award. You're right. I mean, Cam did it. Joe Burrow did a lot of those things as a college player. Jameis Winston did a lot of those things as a college player. But it's a short select list of guys who can say they accomplished all of those things. Cam did it in his only year in the program, which is something those other two guys can't necessarily say about, you know, just having this incredible run. And I would mention Bill because I wonder if it's going to come up. I think Jahni Broome's got a case for a jersey retirement as well at some point.
I would think you're absolutely right there.
Yeah, I mean it's been a while since Auburn
his jersey ought to go up in the rafters as well.
Yeah, been a while since Auburn men's basketball had reason to retire a jersey. But I think Jahni Broome put together the kind of career, making All-American teams, being, you know, winning National Player of the Year awards, taking the team to the Final Four. Yeah. I think he's put together a case that deserves consideration one day for a jersey retirement. But just really cool, and as though you needed any more juice for Auburn, Georgia on October 11th, right?
I think it's great. I mean, because you've got you've got Georgia and Alabama coming in, and you got some pretty big things going on for both those games. In addition to the games, not that you have to do that, like you said, to spice it up. But I think it's great that you're adding that to the Georgia game.
Yeah, I made reference to it too, Bill, and Auburn announced. I got the email earlier today about the Pat Dye reunion, and that's a really
right.
Cool thing that Auburn is doing as well with inviting back everyone. It's the first game of the season. It's Friday the 5th and September Friday the 5th and 6th, Saturday the 6th of September. There's going to be a tour of Coach Dye's home at Crooked Oaks. There's going to be a reception. There's going to be a tour of the Waltos. There's going to be a tailgate, and there's going to be recognition for former staff and student athletes who worked with Coach Dye during halftime of the Auburn Ball State game. And the university has ways to get in touch with different people if you'd like to RSVP for Pat Dye reunion weekend. But they're inviting all former players and staff. Because it's the 20th anniversary of Coach Dye making the college.
I haven't gotten anything yet.
College Football Hall of Fame. You have not. Well, this is your invitation, Bill. all former players and staff who had the privilege of playing or working alongside Coach Pat Dye are invited to return to Auburn for reunion weekend in honor of the 20th anniversary of Coach Dye being inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. And Bill, I bet you'd bump into some folks you haven't seen in a while if you attended some of those.
I bet you're right.
Some of those festivities in a couple of weeks. But no, that's a really cool thing the university is doing for reunion weekend, first home game of the year, the Ball State game, and check that out especially if you're someone who would qualify for inclusion in the event, right? If you're a former player, or if you got a family who's a former player of Coach Dye's or staff who worked with Coach Dye, that's going to be a really cool thing, and I think a lot of folks will show up to support the coach and reunite with their old friends.
No question about it. I mean, so some big doings with that. The opening game you mentioned, Cam's jersey retirement, Georgia weekend, and then Bo Jackson's 40th anniversary of the Heisman for the Alabama game.
Yeah, some really cool stuff going on this year at Jordan-Hare to honor some pretty significant figures from Auburn football past, recent past, and not so recent past. Brian was lamenting that it's 40 years from the 1985 Iron Bowl, and I mentioned Bill.
I was only 17 when I started Auburn, so I'm not nearly as old as most people in school that day.
It was made apparent to me, Bill, that 1985 was 40 years ago earlier this summer.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact.
I've been just ignoring these facts. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that.
I am aware of that anniversary.
I'm still not aware of it. Leave me alone.
Some really cool stuff, and of course, just crazy to think, just a week from Friday, we're in the middle of, you know, when this show's over, we got 9 shows left before Auburn and Baylor square off in Waco, next Friday night on Fox, and of course you can catch it right here on Wings 94.3. Speaking of Wings 94.3. First episode of Tiger Talk this season.
Oh boy!
Starting at 6 o'clock, Andy,
less than an hour
should join us tomorrow. Andy should make an appearance on the drive to help preview, and he was hard at work on his boards for Auburn Baylor last week, and I'm sure he's doing pronunciation drills with different Baylor players, and for that matter, different Auburn players, because you got to know some of the new faces all over the roster. So we'll talk.
And you can get those pronunciations on the website on the roster. How about that?
How about that, Auburn?
Yeah, how about that?
Stepping up the pronunciation game. But you can you can catch Andy on Tiger Talk, and that's on Wings 94.3 at 6 o'clock. Do not miss the first episode of the year, first episode of the season for Tiger Talk. 334-321-1390, the number to dial. Bill, we had some callers jumping in on the drive hotline presented by Skybar. I wanted to know your thoughts on Hugh Freeze at the press conference earlier today. I know you've seen and heard a lot of the remarks, and I think the offensive line has been one of the big topics of conversation after. I think you can consider it a call out by Hugh Freeze earlier today.
Yeah, especially he pointed out the defensive line's been able. He sort of called out the defensive line a little bit for not containing, because he talked about being able to get after the quarterback and have to make them create plays, but then he talked about. Yeah, that the offensive line was strain the word?
You got to strain more in one-on-one situations.
Yeah, they got to strain more. I thought that was pretty interesting when he said that.
Also said the defensive line needs to cage the quarterback better.
That's the quarterback.
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah,
so,
wants
I mean,
to see. And
you know what I like? That doesn't sound like he's terribly disappointed in these guys. But there are things that they still need to work on to get better, to be as good as he hopes and expects that they're going to be.
Yeah, he mentioned wants to see more of a pocket, and I think it comes down to just like the Jackson Arnold stuff last week, Bill. I think he believes the team is, he believes he's got an offensive line capable of doing these things,
mm-hmm.
right? He's not asking for the moon and the stars. He's asking for a group that he believes in to play up to his and their own expectations. And it was in an off season, and I think a preseason camp that had been very positive at almost every position today was, and there was still a lot of positivity today, but I think there was also some urgency at some spots with a game next week. 334. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, even when things are going very well, you don't want your players to feel like, okay, we've got it, everything's set, we're cool, we can just sort of coast on in. So, I think you need to be doing that even if things are going exceedingly well in practice.
Yeah, I think Hugh Freeze feels confident he knows what buttons to push right now, emotionally, psychologically, for motivational purposes with game week just a couple of days away. 334-321-1390. We're still going to talk to Brian about his musings.
Oh boy.
Including the music. So stay tuned for that. Tex, I don't want to cut you short, so we're going to take a break, and we're going to have Tex when we come back. You are listening to the Monday edition of The Drive.
The Drive at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hour number two of the Monday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio, Drew at the controls. We got Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com hanging out. Bill Cameron beaming in from the home studio. Love to hear from you. 334-321-1390, Drive Hotline presented by Skybar. And let's get to Tex, who's hanging on. What's up, buddy?
Hey, dude. How you doing?
Doing all right, Tex.
It's good to hear y'all. My business is running me crazy. Not driving me crazy. I almost said the wrong thing. It's running me crazy. So a couple things. I've been around coaches and athletes all my life. I've never seen a coach after, let's just say, media and fans start getting real excited, not to turn up the heat a little bit and become maybe a little more demanding, a little more raising the expectations on his players because he cares. I think I don't want to say it's not playing a game, but if you would have ever been around Coach Paul Nix in the baseball program, shoot, I thought for the first year and a half, my first name changed to Damn It Tex. So, it's, you know, and he used to tell me all the time, it's just because I care.
Right.
Strange way of showing it, but that's what we learned about when we were playing is that if you don't demand excellence, you can't get it. It doesn't come naturally to people. You know, everybody already thinks they're great. If you don't hold them to a high standard, you're not going to get it. So, I'm not as worried about it. I try not to get too high or too low. So when it comes to hearing about what's going on at practices, and you don't hear about the times when he's throwing stuff when there's no media out there, only when there is.
Yeah, and that's pretty common practice. I mean, I'm whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then I wanted to chime in. My daughter, my oldest daughter, who's an Auburn grad, once FaceTimed me with Cam Newton sitting next to her in a classroom. So he did go to class,
nice,
at least on that day. And so, but anyway, he wore number two, and she heard today about the retiring, called me and said, Dad, didn't you wear number two? Well, when I was still a quarterback, when I was much, much, much younger, I wore number two for one reason. Anybody remember a number two that Auburn fans might have rooted for back in the day? In the early 70s?
Number two in the early 70s.
I would
Tom
not.
Tom Clements at Notre Dame.
Oh, wow.
Because he beat Alabama twice.
I was going to say, yeah, I didn't remember a two at Auburn, but yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good one.
I fell in love with number two because he beat Alabama twice. So I picked up on that number, Clements, and pulling for Notre Dame during that time. As much as Columbus is also kind of an Auburn area, it's pretty big Alabama area back during that day.
Oh, yeah.
Because Pig Davis from Columbus High had the three Davis boys going to Alabama. So it was pretty tough. So, and one last thing, I'm probably going to be getting rid of my two tickets for the second and third games, the first two home games of the year. Nothing personal, but we're celebrating 40 years of marriage during that time.
Congratulations.
Our trip. So thank you. Well, you need to congratulate Cindy.
Boy, a lot of 1985 memories here been talked about today. Things happened in 85, Dan.
It was a big year.
Yeah.
September 21st, 1985. You know why we picked that day?
An open date.
It was an open date.
There we go. If it had to be during football season, it better be an open day.
Bill was in the – were you in the ticket office then, or is that pre-ticket office?
No. No, I wasn't in the ticket office then.
Bill was in after then. I happen to know when Bill was in the ticket office.
Yeah.
So I've been around Bill way too long, so a lot of people –
Bill was in radio
really
here.
And,
yes. Yep.
Bill would know the bye weeks for a lot of these. But you also – I mean, you would pick a bye week for that occasion.
Yeah. So I'm going to work something out. And there was a big contingent of Auburn people that drove down that I have a picture of, the entire group. One of them's probably listening right now. Floyd and Teresa were there at our wedding. I didn't know if they came because they didn't believe somebody was marrying me, or they felt sorry for Cindy. I couldn't tell which one. So, but 40 years is quite amazing. We've been together for 43 years, but married 40. I had to wait for, she's younger than I am. I had to wait till she graduated. So we'll be celebrating that. So I'm going to figure out something on how to give them away for,
yeah, that's
on your show. So just letting you know.
Looking
forward
to it.
If anybody's interested and comes up with any kind of things kind of neat, we'll figure it out. I prefer somebody take a kid with them, just personally. All right. And Brian,
yes.
I'm waiting for your musings, so I'm going to hang up and listen now.
All right.
Great stuff,
right,
Tex.
We're going back to 1986.
I'll tell you what. Wow, how about
wow.
that? You know what?
We're all around the mid-80s now.
We got time for that, so hold on a sec. So yeah, great stuff from Tex. 334-321-1390, the number to dial. If you'd like to join in, that's the Drive Hotline presented by Skybar. Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com writes his musings every Monday. Brian, before we get to the before we talk tunes,
yes.
what else did you have to say?
Oh, I talked about something that's coming that people may not like, and that is more neutral site games. They're a way to generate NIL revenue, or will be, or becoming that. And that's a big way to stock those numbers up, where you can offer kids these exorbitant amounts of money above and beyond the revenue sharing. So that's coming.
Saw the Virginia Tech AD say, you know, they're about $50 million short of where they want to be as an athletic department. I wonder how commonplace.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah. I wonder how commonplace that's going to be around college athletics, different departments, acknowledging shortfalls compared to the top teams in the industry or the top teams in their respective conferences.
I also wrote about the SEC probably sticking with 8 games conference schedule this going 2026, most likely. Not confirmed yet, but that I don't not believe when they do that they're going to flip the whole schedule over and Auburn, Georgia will be canceled, Alabama, Tennessee will be canceled. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're
going to
make exceptions.
So you think they're just going to sort of put it on hold?
I think they'll keep
the big rivalries
before
they eventually get to 9?
I think that's the plan. And I think it would be a terrible mistake if they didn't do that.
The Big
Ten.
Oh,
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. If you lost Auburn, Georgia, or Alabama, Tennessee for 1 year,
yeah,
that's still going to be awful.
The Big Ten designated certain games as rivalry games that needed to be played every year. It's not uniform. Every team does not have the same number. I think there's even a team with 0 where they weren't given a rivalry game, and they just play the Big Ten schedule that they're dealt every year. I wonder if the SEC could explore something like that, where there are teams with multiple rivalry games that need to be on the schedule every year, and you fill the schedule out accordingly, but you always try to play those games. That I think would be, I think there are enough games in the SEC that warrant that kind
of
consideration.
It would just be tough to keep it at 8. It would make it forever. It might make it longer than matchups like Auburn, Florida, we're seeing if you started adding that in and stuck with an 8-game schedule, though.
6-3 works out much better because you get the extra rivalry game if you need it or whatever, and then you can still flip that schedule home and away every 4 years.
Yeah, every other year if you want.
Yep. All right, and Brian, what else did you have to write about?
All right, so going back to 39 years, 1986.
Okay.
The release of one of the most successful albums of the glam metal era.
Ooh.
That included 2 number one hits.
Oh, I think this one's a fastball grooved
right down the middle for me,
right?
Are we getting ready for Auburn football too? I mean,
yes, there is.
We in the press box don't know what's being played out there, but I mean, if this one isn't played at every football game, Auburn football game, I can remember.
Wait, is this
for about the last 40 years? I don't know what it is.
Is this so. Appetite? Is this GNR?
No.
So this is because I was thinking
1986, hair band, glam metal, whatever you want to call
it. Is this Slippery When Wet?
Yes.
Okay. I thought
on a prayer.
Until here's the thing. Until you mentioned the stadium rock clue, I was going to confidently guess a Def Leppard album, maybe Hysteria. Maybe I was thinking, or Pyromania, you know, which like one of the, I thought it was one of those, and I was going to.
Didn't you just do a Def Leppard? You did a Def Leppard. You did something about the.
I did.
Not too
he's
long
done.
Ago.
He's done Def recently,
yeah,
but
too long ago.
But we always mention.
Yeah,
you
know, I
know.
I just don't.
It was interesting
to
mention that
going
because
back to the same.
Rolling Stone ranked the greatest hair metal albums because you know you can call it glam rock, hair metal, whatever. And number one was Hysteria by Def Leppard. Number two was Poison's Look What the Cat Dragged In.
Yeah.
And number three was this one.
Slippery When Wet,
yep.
Bon Jovi. That's yeah, no. Now I don't know how big they were pre-Slippery When Wet, right?
Like, were they had Runaway, but it was not a big. It was barely in the top 40, and their second album was so bad that the label was considering dropping them if they couldn't get it going in album number three.
Wow. I thought it was. I didn't realize how big.
Yeah, it felt like they came out of nowhere, really. With this,
and then they were just they were everywhere. So that's that's their, what are the hits on that one? That's got Living on a Prayer.
You Give Love a Bad Name were the two number ones from that album. You also had Wanted Dead or Alive, which was one of the best videos as voted by MTV. I think that listed number five on the top 100 videos of 1980s. And what was the other one? It was more of a
Never Say Goodbye.
Yeah,
on that one too. Yeah. Wanted Dead or Alive is there's a cool dual acoustic guitar version. Yeah. They did at an award show, and they say
MTV.
They claim that it's the inspiration for Unplugged.
MTV
says they already had Unplugged shows scheduled before that, but it's one of those. Depends on who you ask. If it was the, but it certainly played a role in.
Oh yeah,
hyping interest in. I think it was Squeeze
acoustic.
Who did the first ever MTV Unplugged show. But not so. That's a cool one. A little Bon Jovi. Still amazing that he talked the rest of the band into calling it that. But it's Bon Jovi is the musing today from Brian. More of that at auburnsports.com every single Monday. We will be back with more. You are listening to the Monday edition of The Drive. Stick around.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Monday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio with Brian Matthews from auburnsports.com. Drew at the controls. Bill Cameron joining us from the home studio. Mentioning again, we are on location Friday at Winter Timber Outdoors in Auburn, the brand new hunting and outdoor store. On the Line's going to be there as well. Grand opening this weekend. We'll talk some week zero of college football. We'll talk some high school football. Getting started. We're going to have Jacob in here at some point this week, maybe tomorrow, maybe Wednesday, to do a segment and talk a little bit about Auburn High School football as well. Giveaways on Friday at Winter Timber Outdoors. They'll be doing stuff all weekend long as part of the grand opening. Special guest appearances as well. So come see us in person this Friday live at Winter Timber Outdoors. Mentioning Hugh Freeze's press conference from earlier today, he recapped a lot of the scrimmage. Some not so great news regarding one true freshman, Antonio Coleman. Hearing that violation of team rules, suspended indefinitely. You had not heard much after the first couple of days of preseason practice. You hadn't heard as much about Antonio as a defensive lineman that was in the picture to contribute this year. It just seems like you'd heard a lot of other names, even true freshmen, instead of him. And now he's got another hill to climb And I don't think it's Doug asked me about this earlier today, and my stance would be when you invest in freshmen the way Auburn has the last 3 years or so. Occasionally, you're going to get someone who has some growing up to do, and incidents can happen that force that issue. And I certainly wouldn't use it to, I would not paint with a broad brush anything about like the character of this Auburn team because of an isolated incident involving a player here or there. I think that's unfair and irresponsible, but. Antonio Coleman himself probably has some, he's got some things to work out before football is a consideration. We mentioned that you've seen Hollis at practice again recently, so it sounds like maybe they're taking steps to put that legal incident in the past. But But yeah, it's I mean, Brian, you followed Antonio as a recruit, and
from
it's
Sarah Land, yep.
Yeah, it's a setback for him. And you know, Auburn likes its depth at defensive line, and you remove Antonio Coleman from the equation in the short term. I still think Auburn really likes their depth on the defensive line, but it's never good news to see something like this pop up.
Yeah, and I think you nailed it, saying that he's just got to grow up a little bit, maturity issues. That happens to a lot of freshmen. Some of them figure it out. Some of them need to move somewhere else to figure it out, or some of them never figure it out. So we'll see how Antonio Coleman does. But, you know, he was not expected to play this year, expected to redshirt. I'm sure that will certainly be the case now. And we'll see if he sticks around and you know, grows up a little bit because of this, or goes a different direction. But, you know, as far as defensive line goes, I think they've got around six guys that can rotate in that interior spots. I think Bobby Jamins, Travis, and Malik Blockton will be the starters. I think Jay Hardy, James Ash, Zeke Walker, Dallas Walker, Darian Smith.
Kids, what about the kids?
Malik Autry, that's more than
Jordan
six.
Crawford. Jordan Crawford, yeah. And Malik Autry.
Yeah, Jordan Crawford. Crawford. I mentioned Autry, but all those guys are going to rotate in there, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean
yeah, I think they've got about eight. No, yeah. I was going to say, I think they've got about eight guys in there. One of the things with Antonio, too, Brian, I mean, Antonio was getting some work at defensive end because he's still only listed at about 256.
Yep.
So, I mean, if he's going to be a defensive tackle, he's got to be bigger. So, I mean, that's something else. I mean, we've got to figure out exactly, you know, where does he fit. But, yeah, he's got other concerns right now.
Definitely future on interior defensive line at that size. Just got to put on some weight. You know, he doesn't
– Yep.
You know, see – you don't want too many ends or bucks, certainly some of them, at you know, 6'1". I mean, they've got some now, right? But those are exceptional guys that have played end or butt before. But you want those guys to have a lot more length to them.
Bill, I asked Vontrell last week about how the proposal to really, really use the depth and substitute and limit the number of plays that the interior D linemen are expected to play. Like, how's that going over in the meeting room? And they seem really excited about it. And, you know, VKW's answer was that these guys recognize that they can, you know, they can maybe be more productive being able to sprint for 15 or 18 plays rather than have to conserve themselves for closer to 40, if that was indeed the plan. And they still want to know who the essential ones are, you know, who needs to be out there.
Oh, yeah, because you're going to need those guys when the game's on the line at the end. It'd be great if you had somebody who hadn't been out there for 50 plays.
Right.
Somebody that had given you 20 and can still give you another, you know, five or six when you have to have them, you know, with the game on the line.
And I wonder if that impacts how they use Malik and Bobby. Right, who are nominally the starters, but I wonder if those are guys who need to be fresh in the fourth quarter of a close game, and that impacts how you use them. But you also might need them in order to keep the game close. You know, for the fourth quarter, that's going to depend on what kind of production you get from Jay Hardy and Zeke Walker and Chris Ash, sort of the veterans that you've. I mean, you didn't bring in Zeke Walker. He's another battle tested, entrenched veteran on this team, but you've got those three, and then you mentioned the kids, Malik Autry, Jordan Crawford, Dallas Walker. Like, you've got, I mean, I think you've got eight that I would think, I've got probably eight on my list of guys.
Yeah, I've got eight on my depth chart inside.
Maybe there's someone I'm forgetting about, but I think those eight factor, you know, I think they're all playing, and those are just two spots. Right, where we're talking about maybe eight, because you've got Keldrick and Amaris at the other
and Jared
and then
Keron and Murray and so you've got at least a half dozen on the outside and it's probably 15. I would say 15 guys. When you include the youngsters like Darian Smith, like Brian was saying, you probably got 15 guys there for those four positions up front.
Yeah, right. That's a whole lot of depth.
If you think about it as, I mean, how many plays is Baylor going to run? Obviously, that depends on how things go. But if it's, you know, I don't have the average in front of me, but let's use what, 70, 80, you know, as a possibility. And if that happens you know, I think Auburn feels pretty good about being able to have a fresh pair of defensive linemen out there for most of those 80 snaps. And that was a pipe dream for recent Auburn teams, right? Like, you think about the way that the depth evaporated under Harsin on the defensive line, and the way Hugh Freeze was trying to rebuild this with some portal pieces that didn't really work out. Like, the thought that they have, and again, we'll see what Jay Hardy and Chris Ash necessarily bring in as veterans and as veteran transfers, and how ready all of the true freshmen are to be part of this combination. But, I mean, yeah, the thought that you could have some really fresh young defensive linemen out there, that's been one of the Brian, you follow recruiting, you follow roster construction. Being able to have fresh guys out there in your front seven all the time, has that been one of the keys for Georgia and Alabama over the last few years? Being able to go to not just having high-level talent starting, but feeling very good about who's next when you have to go to the bench. That matters a ton. That's I mean, it's great to have a star at defensive end or at linebacker, but you know, it's a physical game, and guys become unavailable. You need to feel really good about who's next.
Yeah, and it's great, of course, to have a bunch of five stars at a position. But you know, I don't think Georgia and Alabama necessarily rotate as much as Auburn wants to. But what they do is they give those younger guys enough rotations and plays and experience that by the time that veteran, you know, leaves as a first round draft pick in the NFL, the guy behind him suddenly is ready to step into those shoes and be an all SEC level player, even though he hasn't started before. And you know, that's what happens when you recruit the way they have over, you know, over years and years and years.
Did I call him Chris Ash? Who is Chris Ash?
I don't know.
Chris Ash is the defensive coordinator at Notre Dame.
He's James' little brother.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I don't know that.
Chris Ash is a longtime coordinator. He used to be the head coach at Rutgers. He is the defensive coordinator at Notre Dame. Was at Wisconsin for a while. Coached with Bielema at Arkansas. I knew that name sounded familiar. I know I've heard the name Chris Ash. I think I'm also combining Chris Murray and James Ash.
Yeah, there you go.
In order to have a player on the defensive line. I'll tell you, Chris Murray, from the Whataburger All Texas team 2020, Bill, is another guy that I really, you know, between him and Keyron, I think they feel pretty good. Like, Jalen McLeod was a big piece of what Auburn did last year on defense.
Very big.
I think they feel pretty good about what they've done to replace him. They want Keyron to take that step forward, but between Chris Murray and even Jared Smith, who has already impressed the special teams coaches enough to earn his spot on a couple of couple of those units, I think that's a spot we haven't talked about as much, and I really want to see what kind of production Auburn gets out of the, you know, and assuming it's Keyron and Murray first up,
yeah.
but what those guys look like.
That's the one position I'm not really sure about, just because, even though I have a lot of, I'm impressed with Keyron's work ethic, and every time I see him out there, he still hasn't produced the numbers that he needs to produce this year to be a starting, edge rusher in the SEC. But you've also got Joe Phillips and Jamonte Waller out there, who are mostly healthy going through camp, which helps him out a lot. You know, you can slide some other people, like Amaris Williams. I think you can see him and Keldrick on the field together a lot. I think you'll also see Jared Smith get some looks over there. And then you got J.J. Falk also, who has just moved from linebacker to DN, but he could still figure in either side of the ball. So I think they have a lot of options.
The thought that Keldrick, and I guess this is just when you're that kind of athlete, but the thought that you're talking about a guy that can maybe play all four spots on this defensive line, depending on who else they want out there and the situation. You know, they've talked about who is it that moves in on the – they have a pass rush.
Yeah, Keldrick can move inside.
Keldrick and Malik, because they love Malik as an interior pass rusher. They want to see him win more in the run game.
Also, like the freshman there, Darren Smith, because of his quickness.
But the thought of Keldrick and Blockton as your two inside guys, and then whatever else you want to do. Is it Amaris and Keyron?
Yeah, it's Amaris and one of the Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's Amaris and one of the Bucks. But, I mean, the thought that that's a If the buzz on Amaris materializes during the season as a genuine step forward, and that's one of the, you know, a lot of this is you know, you got to figure out what's a smoke screen, you know, what's noise, and what actually turns out to be real. I'm buying the Amaris thing as, and we'll see. You know, I mean, it's you're betting on a player who redshirted last year that you haven't really seen on the field before. You know, it's sort of the same. I think it's a similar thing if you're like confident in a Perry Thompson breakout, or if you are confident in
Jackson Arnold.
I mean, I think there are several guys on the team where it's like, okay, but I think Amaris is another one where, yeah, it's just believing in that underlying potential and a lot of what you've seen very recently to think this guy is going to be as advertised. 334-321-1390, the number to dial. I'll tell you what, we'll take our final break, come back to wrap things up. Dan Peck in the studio with Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com with Drew at the controls. We got Bill beaming in from home. More show coming up. We'll be back.
This is Ray Horns.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of the show. Fast-paced Monday. Really appreciate the calls chiming in after, we had some analysis of Hugh Freeze talking at the press conference earlier today. I asked him, Bill, at the press conference about the running back position, and while he did say Damari's the most complete back and he's going to get the first shot and he really likes Cobb, and the experience, he also
breakout season
also right? mentioned, well, in a separate answer, Jason asked him specifically about Cobb, and he mentioned that when the inside receivers were banged up last week, they used Cobb on a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, as a slot,
which is something.
Well, I think he practiced some there last year too.
Lined up. I think Ferg had it in the write up that Cobb took, I think, 60 snaps at running back and 20 lined up at receiver last year. In his time as an Auburn player, so I mean it's not all that shocking to see him used out of elsewhere than just the backfield, I think it's still some question as to how they're going to use Damari and Jeremiah, how they're going to use Darrell, who seems to be working his way back from the turf toe, and Omar Mabson. You've got the Auburn High School true freshman who has from the first time they put on the pads, right? Looked like someone with a special something about him in the backfield.
Yeah. He hasn't looked like a 17-year-old. I mean, obviously, I mean, we were hearing about him, Brian, all summer long through all the summer workouts.
Yep.
And I've seen a few folks lately, when asked about his style, saying they can't help but be reminded of Trey Mason when they watch Omar.
I've heard that too. I don't know. Maybe he is that explosive. We'll see. I mean, he's been amazing.
He's obviously having a great fall.
Yeah, he really has been. And I think he's in position if the top two, Austin or Cobb, get banged up, don't perform well, don't have good ball security. I think he is positioned to step up and take a job. I mean, he's right there. We've seen him work in with the first team already during fall camp. Mm-hmm. Early in fall camp, we saw that. So that tells me they have a lot of trust in this true freshman.
Great. I mean, great stuff as always from as far as the access we were allowed to give. And Brian, we really appreciate you jumping in on the on a Monday, and we'll look.
Hey,
forward
there's
to,
more access this week.
That's right. We're going to practice tomorrow and talking with players afterwards, and then Auburn is I believe then they're closing the curtain. And and the rest of this week is dedicated to getting ready for Baylor working
and the first week of class
and the rest of the first week of class and working out kinks before Auburn. Just a little bit more than a week, Auburn and Baylor will square off in Waco, and of course we're going to have that for you on Wings 94.3 next Friday. Speaking of Wings 94.3, not only is it your home for Auburn High School football this Friday night, it's also in just a couple of minutes the first episode of Tiger Talk for this academic year. The season premiere of Tiger Talk, hosted by Andy Burcham. They're doing a special edition, I believe, from the Collegiate, is where tonight's episode is, and it's by invitation only. I'm still, mine must have been lost. I don't know what happened.
I guess what happened there.
Yeah. I've checked at the graduate downtown.
Check
my mail. So, yeah, the graduate, not the collegiate. You know where they're doing it. And then next week, Baumhauer's, the usual location on Mondays, and next week, game week. Amazing to think next week will be, next Monday they will be getting ready for, you know, putting the finishing touches on the off season and getting ready for Auburn and Baylor. So yeah, we'll have a lot for you this week, and then next week we'll be full steam ahead as we get ready for the first game of the season.
I thought it was pretty interesting listening to what Hugh Freeze had to say today when he was asked about the prep for Baylor, talking about still being good on good.
Yes.
Brian, you got to like that. I mean, they have been going best against best the entire fall. And, yeah, there's some guys that have been banged up. But, I mean, fingers crossed right now. I would say it's been a very successful fall because they've been able to do that without having a lot of guys suffer injuries.
No major injuries. A lot of good on good, ones versus ones. That's good to see. And I think they recognize the importance of showing up in Waco, Texas, with an edge to them, right? And the only way you're going to get that is keep pushing each other, keep going up against the best, so you can, you know, sharpen that iron, so to speak, and be ready to go.
Bill, looking forward to seeing you pretty soon. Oh, don't forget this Friday show is on the road.
Right,
we will be live at Winter Timber Outdoors in Auburn, a brand new hunting and outdoor store over by the mall. So you can check out. On the Line's going to be there as well from 2 to 6 this Friday, talking about the Week 0 college football. They got the game in Ireland, among some other things going on this weekend.
That's pretty much the only D1 game, though, isn't it? I
think that's right. Maybe somebody's playing Hawaii. But I think
that's right.
Because Hawaii's usually got a game week zero. But I think other than that, you're right. But we'll be this Friday. We'll be at Winter Timber Outdoors and pop on in for a lot of cool stuff going on at the grand opening tomorrow. Should have our usual chats with Andy Burcham in hour number one and Jake Crane from Crane and Company in hour number two. Brian, one more time, tell folks about the Super Group.
Yeah, check us out auburnsports.com. We will have plenty of coverage from today's press conference with Hugh Freeze, which I already had, and of course with tomorrow's open practice period and talking to some more players, all that and more, auburnsports.com, plus a lot of recruiting news. We're closing in on another five-star potentially committing to Auburn here fairly soon. I know Jeffrey Lee just put in a pick for Auburn in that case, so get all that information and more, auburnsports.com. Follow me on the Twitter /X at BMattAU.
Fun show today. We will we'll wrap things up and talk to you tomorrow. For Bill Cameron, for Drew at the controls, for Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com, this is Dan Peck signing off. Good night.